It is good to be back in this space and with all of you. So I don't know whether it was the fact that it's like the 4th of July today or whether it was this gospel text, but I found myself thinking a lot about hometown heroes this week. Hometown heroes that sometimes are on the last page of the newspaper or buried beneath all those horrible, awful headlines that we hear all too often. I found myself wondering why hometown heroes aren't often the front page of newspapers instead of an afterthought. I mean, hometown heroes stories we've heard time and time again. The little old lady who's kept the public library open by fundraising, by making cookies. We hear of the youth who has helped to collect sports equipment to help underprivileged kids learn to play tennis or lacrosse or any of the myriad of sports that are out there. We hear the story of the woman who lost her son to gun violence, who now comforts others who suffer the same tragedy in their own lives. We hear the hometown hero restaurant owner who makes sure that no one ever goes without food and doesn't require you to pay for a meal if you're hungry. We hear about the real estate agent who volunteers their time to help homeless find a path towards finding permanent housing. Kind of an irony there, right? Kids who have the lemonade stand. I mean, that's even a story of our own hometown heroes, that when we had the tragedy of the fire, we had our kids selling lemonade to raise funds to help our own. Or they're selling lemonade to fundraise for medical research or to help out a fellow classmate. Or the couple who celebrated their 50th wedding anniversary with their over 60 foster kids. These are all stories of hometown heroes that, you know, our world often forgets and doesn't celebrate, but maybe they should. And so as I was thinking about Jesus' little homecoming trip to his own hometown this week, we see our very Lord and Savior not being celebrated as a hometown hero, but instead being rejected and despised and ridiculed. There was no celebrating him that day, instead just shock and amazement at what he was doing. Isn't that just Mary's son? What wisdom and what deeds of power? And ultimately, they took offense at him. But perhaps that's because it's hard to believe that the extraordinary is possible within the ordinary. I'll say it again. That the extraordinary is possible within the ordinary. Maybe the townsfolk had a hard time believing in the Son of Man simply because they remembered when Jesus used to be an unruly teenager, or a rather difficult toddler. I mean, how could this one be capable of healing the sick and casting out demons? It's not that unlike our surprise when someone from our own hometown grows up to be famous, a good old "I remember him when" story, if you will. And our town is full of those kinds of connections. I mean, the fact that Kobe Bryant used to play basketball right next door at the Fellowship House, or Father James Martin, advocate in the Catholic Church for LGBT inclusion, is a graduate of Plymouth White Marsh High School, or Michael Rubin, who flies his helicopter into town every day at 4 o'clock. Yes, even the mother and son duo from Conchie that's on the circle right now, as unlikely as they are our own hometown famous people. And perhaps it's our connections to what seems to be so ordinary that make it so hard for us to handle the fact that they do extraordinary things now. And yet, isn't it God that so often takes ordinary to transform into extraordinary? I think of the story of Jonah preaching to the Ninevites, or Moses, who was reluctantly sent to preach to Pharaoh. "Can't you send my brother? He's more well-spoken than me." And God says, "That little objection is not going to fly, Moses. I will put the words in your mouth. You are going to Pharaoh." "But I don't want to." Or even Mary and her willingness to be open to what God was doing in her life to bear Christ into the world. That ordinary moment of just saying yes in her life turned into the extraordinary bearing of God's very self into the world. It's incredible that God would use ordinary to draw out the extraordinary extravagance of God's love for us all. It was incredible what Jesus and the apostles were doing that day in town, anointing the sick, casting out demons, turned just a few heads that day into getting noticed. And so I was thinking a lot this week about the ordinariness of our everyday life and how God intervenes with extraordinary grace, love, and mercy in all of our lives. Because here's the truth. You all, ordinary saints, are equipped by the powers of baptism with extraordinary gifts to share in the world. And so Jesus ends, or the gospel this morning ends, with the sending of the apostles, which is kind of ironic because we've gathered back in here, and I'm going to talk to you a little bit about being sent back out there, right? So God's extraordinary power equips us ordinary people to be out in the world. And I know that we struggle to take our faith from this place out there, which is why our church is going to be spending the next year or two focusing on ways that our faith equips us to live as ordinary saints doing extraordinary things in the world, so that we can be attentive to how God is calling each of us to bear God's creative and redeeming work in the world, whether that's at the hospital or the school or the golf course or wherever we find ourselves, that God has called us to bear witness to God's creative and redeeming word in the world. And that's hard, and it's difficult, which is probably why Jesus said, I'll send you out two by two. Because you need someone to help you. And that's why we give thanks for this community that continues to help us discover our voice for justice and peace and mercy so that we can take that good news amidst a world that is often full of bad news and proclaim that good news so that others might hear. And so, on this Independence Day weekend, I celebrate the dependence of us on that faith that equips us and calls us and sends us out into the world to proclaim that good news. Because that's what this world needs to hear, that God loves you, that God cares for you, that you are being healed by the very presence of Christ come near to you. Because that's what it means to cast out the demons in this day and age, and that's what it means to be part of the discipleship community that is sent out. So I give thanks for the ways that we continue to proclaim that good news and anoint the sick, cast out the demons, and share God's good news with the world. May we ever find that vocation of proclamation in a new and profound way, no matter how we're called into the world. Amen.